And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is excellence in a chosen field. Each of my guests is explaining how to be excellent in a particular field. My next guest is best known as the leader of Tommy James and the Shondells. He's sold more than 100 million records, but that's not the most interesting part of his life. We'll discuss his unique mob connection from his book, Me, the Mob, and the Music. And if you want to join in the conversation, or if you want to call in and speak to Tommy James, you can call us at 639-0008. Tommy James was born in Dayton, Ohio, and he started performing at the tender age of 12 years old in Niles, Michigan. He went on to record many top hits, including Hanky Panky, I Think We're Alone Now, Money Money, Crimson and Clover, Sweet Cherry Wine, Crystal Blue Persuasion, one of my favorites, and Dragging the Line. He sold over 100 million records, as I said, and he's been awarded 23 gold singles and 9 gold and platinum albums. Tommy James continues to tour and record. His latest book is Me, the Mob, and the Music, One Hell of a Ride, and it's on sale now. Welcome, Tommy. How are you today?
How are you?
Well,
Thank you for that intro.
Hey, it's glad to have you on the show. You're an accomplished guy. You certainly fit in with our theme today, excellence in a certain field, so that is great. Let's get right to it, because you are best known as Tommy James of Tommy James and the Shondells. You were a mega group in the 1960s, without a doubt. What was it like being part of a mega group?
Well, you know, nobody starts out with that in mind. You know, I started out in my hometown of Niles, Michigan. Grew up in a little town, and you know, was just very glad to have made my first record, which really was a fluke. Hanky Panky was recorded when I was in high school.
Wow.
And it was done in a radio studio, WNIL, and you know, it was, you know, half a local hit, but died very quickly in 1964. Then I graduated from high school in 65, and you know, took my band on the road, and all of a sudden in early 66 we had been playing a little dumpy club in Janesville, Wisconsin, and right in the middle of my 2 weeks the guy goes belly up, and the IRS shuts him down, and we go back to Niles feeling like losers, and really very down on ourselves. And but that's how the good Lord works, because all of a sudden I get a call from Pittsburgh that this record, Hanky Panky, that I had recorded 2 years earlier, had been bootlegged locally and was sitting at number one.
Wow.
Only in America.
Yeah.
And that began my career. 2 weeks later, we went to New York, and I went to Pittsburgh and picked up the first bar band I could find. They became the Shondells, and, you know, the new Shondells, because I couldn't put the original band back together. And we were off. That was quite literally the beginning of my career.
Wow, that's an incredible story. And like you say, only in America can something like that happen.
Right.
But then you had that meteoric rise to the top. I mean, what was that experience like? What was it like on the elevator ride up to the top and then the elevator ride back down again?
Well, all I can say is when we got to New York, we got a yes from everybody. And, you know, all the corporate labels and the smaller labels, and a yes from Columbia, Epic, and RCA, and everybody wanted Hanky Panky. So we finally ended up, the last place we went to was Roulette Records, which was an independent label. And, you know, we're really planning on going with probably RCA or CBS. And so all of a sudden the next day I start getting calls about 9 in the morning that all these other labels that had said yes the day before suddenly say, listen, we got to pass. And so I said, what do you mean you got to pass? And I was told that by Jerry Wexler at Atlantic that Morris Levy, the head of Roulette Records, called everybody and literally scared them and said, this is my record, back off. And they did, and so red flags should have gone off all over. And in our book, Me, the Mob, and the Music, I talk about all this because the point was that Roulette Records, in addition to being a good functioning independent record label, was also a front for the Genovese crime family in New York.
Yeah.
And we didn't know anything about this. So when we signed with Roulette, we suddenly realized who we were rubbing shoulders with. And this life made life very interesting for us, to say the least. And we couldn't talk about it until now because, you know, we talk about, you know, the rise. Well, the rise was part of this whole scenario with this very dark and sinister story of mob activity going on behind us at Roulette, activity we couldn't talk about.
Sure. Well, we're talking to Tommy James. Tommy, you were on the horns of a dilemma there in New York when you first landed there and everybody wanted you and they backed away. Did you ever stop and think, well, maybe we don't want to do this record that much and turn and walk away from Morris Levy?
I thought about that many times.
And what would have happened if you'd done it?
Well, the problem was, you know, we had to constantly decide, do I take my life in my hands and... because there was a lot of very scary moments up there with this going on behind us. Roulette was used as everything from a social club to, you know, illegal bank accounts. I mean, you name it, strange boxes showing up and then leaving and people that, you know, people that we only saw, gangsters from television that, you know, were being arrested constantly were showing up at Roulette all the time. And, you know, we'd meet somebody in Morris's office, and a week later we'd see him being arrested in a warehouse in New Jersey or something, you know. And this is the sort of thing that kept happening. So we asked ourselves constantly, do we want to take a chance of breaking this up, or do we, because we were having really incredible success at Roulette.
Sure.
Or do we want to, you know, continue? I mean, it was a real dilemma. So finally I think we made the right decision by staying there, even though... There was huge discrepancies in the royalties. There were virtually no royalties for a long time. It was a good thing we were touring and we had other revenue sources, but royalties were just not going to happen. And so,
well, now that brings up a multitude of questions, Tommy, as I listened to that. So you were touring. And Morris Levy didn't want any part of the touring. I mean, theoretically,
we were left alone on in the other areas. But the problem was. The records were just we just weren't going to get paid. That was the long and the short of it. And yet we were having this great success, one hit record right after another on Roulette.
Hmm.
So and we couldn't tell anybody, and we couldn't get out of the thing because you know, it was dangerous.
Well, you obviously feared for your life and maybe the lives of your loved ones as well. But
that's true.
Are you absolutely sure that this was a mob connection, even at this point?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Did you see
it? No doubt about it. The head of the Genovese crime family was Morris's direct partner up there.
Got it.
And, we name names in the book. I mean, there was, when I tell you the people who were partners at Roulette, it was a lot of very notorious people.
All right, but the experience at Roulette, I mean, this was a professional recording studio. You obviously had a pretty good producer to help you to produce these albums. And at that point, you were just cranking out hit after hit after hit at that point.
Mm-hmm.
What support did the label give you in terms of getting you, you know, the best distribution, the best play for the record around the country?
Well, you have to say a lot because... Every time I go to say something really nasty about Morris or Roulette Records, I also have to take into consideration the fact that if it wasn't for Roulette Records, there wouldn't have been a Tommy James.
Hmm.
And that is the truth. So that was part of my dilemma. It was the success we were having there. It would have been easy, maybe. I can't say it would have been easy, but it would have been easier to leave if we weren't having the success we were having.
Hmm.
So... you know, as far as nobody knew how to market singles any better than Roulette. They really knew how to move quickly. They were like a tugboat in a lake filled with oil tankers. I mean, they just could move really, really fast. And Morris Levy was really a great record man, even though he couldn't carry a tune. He knew hits.
Yeah, but don't you find that's always the way? We're talking to Tommy James. Tommy, as you're producing and cranking out hit after hit after hit, obviously you become an icon in the minds of anybody who's listened to your music, but you've been slighted. You haven't gone into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So I'm going to ask a sensitive question. Do you think that the fact that you were connected with the mob through Roulette Records has any reason or any connection for you not getting into the Rock and Roll Hall?
No, and I, you know, when it's our turn, we'll go. I mean, no, I don't think that.
You don't think that has anything to do with it?
I think the hits were the hits, and they really, the effect that they had, basically nobody knew about this except the people really inside the industry, like some of the radio guys, the distributors, a lot of the distributors knew what was going on at Roulette, but the fans basically didn't know, and most of the people who, you know, were sort of on the periphery of the record industry didn't know either. I mean, this was pretty well-kept secret.
Got it. All right. That's great. Now, why did you feel you could write about it now? Is it
why? Because they died.
They're dead. Okay. It's just that simple.
That's the long and the short of it. Let me just tell you how this started out. We were actually, Martin Fitzpatrick, my co-author, and I actually started this project out about 8 years ago. And for years, people had asked me to write my story. We were gonna write a nice musical story called Crimson and Clover, and we were gonna write about the hits and write about the studio and you know, the industry, the good side of the industry. We started, and we got about a third of the way into it, and we realized that if we didn't tell the Roulette story, the whole story, that we were cheating ourselves and everybody else, because that really was the story.
Without a doubt, and that's what makes this interesting. We're talking to Tommy James, his latest book, Me, the Mob, and the Music, about his mob connections. Well, Tommy, bring us up to date. What are you doing now?
Well, right now, you know, the book is going to be turned into a Broadway show, a musical,
really?
And a movie.
Congratulations, that's
Thank
great.
Thank you. And, well, what I was going to tell you was when we realized we had to tell the Roulette story, I was very uncomfortable with that because some of these guys were still walking around. And so at the beginning of 06, the last of what I call the Roulette regulars passed away. And that was, Vincent the Chin Gigante, if you want to remember. He used to walk around in Greenwich Village in a bathrobe pretending to be crazy. And he died in prison in December of 05, and we felt we could go ahead and finish the story, which we did. And finally, as soon as we were done, we got a deal with Simon & Schuster immediately, and they put out the record, by the way, put out the book. It's in its seventh printing now. And almost immediately we started getting calls for the movie rights and for the Broadway rights.
Cool.
And so in about 14 months, it's going to be a Broadway show. Chaz Palminteri is going to play Morris Levy. For Chaz Palminteri from, he was Sonny the Gangster in A Bronx Tale, if you remember.
Yes.
And he's going to write the dialogue and the playbook. And the movie, then, is going to be after that.
All right. Now, big question. Who's going to play you on Broadway, and who's going to play you in the movie?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm telling you, I am the worst one to ask. No. That is, it's way above my pay scale.
Oh, you don't have any preference? You want Tom Cruise or somebody to play you in the movie?
Well, listen, let me tell you something. It's amazing. They're going to have to be a musician. They're going to have to play guitar as badly as I do. and they're going to have a lot of qualifications. It's going to be a very interesting time now because we're in pre-production and the script is being written as we speak. And new music, by the way, is there's going to be a lot of new music in this in addition to the hits.
Great. Oh, that's cool.
So, and actually, the Shondells, the original Shondells and I, went back in the studio to do a couple of songs that are going to be used in the movie, and one of them is a very new version of I Think We're Alone Now, which is going to be used as closing credits for the movie, and so it's really great. I haven't made music with these guys in almost 38 years, and so it's really really magical getting back in the studio with them.
Oh, it is, and it's going to be magical for all of us baby boomers who grew up listening to your music. We're talking to Tommy James. Tommy, you've written this great book, you know, Me, the Mob, and the Music. What do you want readers to take away from reading this book?
Well, the basic premise of the book, which is, you know, it's funny. There's a background and a foreground. The background is the music business of the 60s and the 70s. And 80s. It finally comes to a close in 1990. And so it's a great span of history of the music business behind this very face kind of story that's all true. So there's a background and a foreground of I guess you could say it's all music business, and it's sort of the Jersey Boys meets the Sopranos or something like that. I don't know.
That is a great analogy, and let me tell you, this is a book that proves that real life is stranger than fiction. We've been talking to Tommy James of Tommy James and the Shondells, his book, Me, the Mob, and the Music. Tommy, if people want to learn more about you, maybe learn about the forthcoming Broadway play or movie, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, just come to our website. It's just TommyJames.com, and it's our official website. We're going to be touring all over the country. You can see where we're going to be performing. We have a lot of new product out in the stores. And if they want to get the book, they can get it through at our website or through Amazon or anywhere books are sold, Borders or Barnes & Noble or any place books are sold. It's all over.
Including our own Bank of Books here in Ventura. Two locations to serve you, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street. Tommy, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest. Great talking to you. We'll talk to you down the road. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.